Let us turn in the back of our Psalter hymnal, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, page 24, question and answers 46 through 49, page 24. Continue our series through principal truths taught in the Bible, principal truths of the Christian faith. We come to the ascension of Christ. Lord's Day 18, question and answer 46 and following. What do you mean by saying he ascended into heaven? That Christ, while his disciples watched, was lifted up from the earth into heaven and will be there for our good until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. But isn't Christ with us until the end of the world as he promised us? Christ is true man and true God. In his human nature, Christ is not now on earth. But in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is not absent from us for a moment. If his humanity is not present wherever his divinity is, then aren't the two natures of Christ separated from each other? Certainly not. Since divinity is not limited and is present everywhere, it is evident that Christ's divinity is surely beyond the bounds of the humanity he has taken on. But at the same time, his divinity is in and remains personally united to his humanity. How does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? First, he pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of his Father. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ, our head, will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. Third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above, where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. Let us take our Bibles and turn in them to the New Testament, first to the Gospel account of John, chapter 18, page 1151. 1151, we'll read verses 33 through 37. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 18. Beginning at verse 33. Congregation, hear now God's holy word. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." And Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Let us turn over to Acts, the next book of the Bible, Acts 23, page 1186. Acts 23, beginning at verse 9. Then a great clamor arose. Some of the scribes of the Pharisees' party stood up and contended sharply, "We find nothing wrong in this man. What if a spirit or an angel spoke to him?" And when the dissension became violent, the tribune, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him away from among them by force. and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." Then let us turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, page 1312. It will read only two verses, verses 21 and 22. Revelation 3. Revelation 23, beginning at verse 21. "The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Thus far, the reading of the Holy Word of God. Congregation, in this election week, perhaps you've been thinking leading up to it and now about politics, about governors, about rulers. It's part of our living in the land at this time. We're thankful for that opportunity. Who knows what we'll be thinking after Tuesday with the results. But as Christians, regardless of the outcome of Tuesday's elections or any election, Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus is ruler. And this is such an important part of the gospel of Christ, this politics. And so it's good to consider again this evening as we continue our series through principal teachings of the Christian faith. I proclaim to you this evening, Christ ascended to the throne of heaven. Christ ascended to the throne of heaven. And first we consider he as king is a king not in this world. Now we could have read from the account of Christ's ascension in Acts 1, but we read from Revelation 3, where Jesus clearly says to the Apostle John that he has sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, earlier passages of Revelation make clear that is in heaven. Jesus is king, but he is a king who is not in this world. He is in heaven, seated on the throne. What it means that Jesus is sitting on the throne, we hope to consider more next time. Again, very fitting for this time of year in which we are, an election time. But this evening, we simply draw attention that by sitting on the throne in heaven, Jesus is not in this world. Now, children, you know this. Because you know Jesus isn't here right now, but you can go to Lansing, you can go to Washington, D.C., you can see the state capitol, the federal capitol. Jesus isn't there, bodily. There's no Christian capital on earth, not Grand Rapids, certainly not Mecca, where Jesus has an earthly throne, not Jerusalem either. What do we make of this? Well, think back to our own governing officials. Think when a hurricane strikes or is about to strike some other event, many people wonder where the governing officials are, let alone the fact that the President of the United States, he can't do anything in situations like these. But often when a disaster happens, people are set at ease, knowing that someone with authority, someone who they think can make things happen, is present, is aware, in order to try to protect, to help. It's like then in famines or tornadoes or difficult economic times, the presence of officials with us in our distress. Many people get a measure of calm from that or get very upset if they aren't around, even if they can't do anything or should do anything. It's becoming more and more the expectation of those in our society as more and more faith is put in the government, in the state, rather than in God. They're looking for their gods to be present. But even you and I, in our trials, maybe you've wondered, where is God? Does God care? Does anybody care? If we approach the Christian faith in this way as the world does, looking for something, someone we can touch, we can see to solve in an earthly way the earthly problems we have, if we're walking by sight, then we'll be very disappointed in the ascension of Christ into heaven. For in this event, Jesus bodily left the earth and ascended into heaven. We will not see him with our eyes until the final day, the day of resurrection. We will not hear him with our earthly ears, his voice, other than in his word. He has left us that book, but not his body, his voice on earth in a bodily way. Jesus did not set up his throne in this world. He did not have the disciples build a palace for himself in Jerusalem or Bethany or Nazareth or anywhere. He left this world. Well, that's very instructive for us today. Brothers and sisters, our King is not in this world. Now, we'll come to the fact that Christ is not absent from this world in our third point, but right now we need to be reminded that Christ is a King not in this world. It's a simple, straightforward fact, but it's one that has far-reaching significance. Jesus is in heaven on the Father's throne, as we read in Revelation. He's in the presence of his Father where he pleads our cause. You and I, we are tossed about here on this earth when viewed with earthly eyes. The book of Revelation, it's filled with God's cautioning the church that, as Jesus himself said while on earth in John 16, verse 33, in the world you will have tribulation. In Revelation, it tells us of many trials, many tribulations, persecutions, even martyrdom that await believers in Jesus on this earth. But Jesus also said, take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is now beyond the storms of this life. By his death and resurrection coming to fruition in his ascension, Jesus has passed through all that sin and Satan and death could throw at him. All that which could assail him. And he's in heaven now. He's not in the grave. He's not on the cross. He's not even on an earthly throne. He is in heaven in the presence of his Father, and he pleads our cause there. There's a King we need. There's a King with authority, with power. Not someone in Lansing, not someone in D.C., not someone at the United Nations, for those who put their faith there. As Jesus himself said in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He is a King. But a King far better than anyone here on earth. He is a King not in this world. He's a King in heaven. Christ ascended to the throne in heaven. But think more about this simple fact that Jesus is in heaven. Your King is there. Your ruler is there. Think in this coming election. You want your candidate to be the one that's going to be in Lansing, don't you? Presidential ones, we want our candidate to be the one in D.C. Well, think of this. Your King is in heaven. We have our own flesh in heaven. Better than just someone of the same political party or persuasion. Our own flesh in heaven. A guarantee that Christ, our head, will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. Not many of us have an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. to take a tour of, let's say, the White House, or to have someone perhaps of our who we voted for maybe be there. We have a guarantee you will go to that palace in heaven. Your own flesh is there. If Christ were a King in this world, what ultimate comfort would that be? What ultimate comfort is it when, let's say, your candidate wins on Tuesday? Another 2 years, another 4 years, you've got to do it again. Maybe sooner. Repeats. If Christ were reigning in earthly power, majesty, wealth, and pomp, what good ultimately would that do? Not one bit. It'd still be all of these same trappings. the same reality, the same fallenness. Congregation, do not seek after what the world seeks. Do not value what it values. Do not seek after earthly fame or power or earthly security. Don't seek after what eyes can see, what your hands can touch. Don't live by sight, live by faith. It would not do us a bit of good if our King were reigning on this earth right now, because that would mean we would have no ultimate destiny, no eternal security. We need a King in heaven, and that's where Christ is. We need this King to be in heaven instead of in earth, because as we consider in our second point, we need a kingdom that is not of this world. A kingdom not of this world. Now that Jesus' kingdom is not one of this world, it's not something theologians came up with. Jesus told us plainly in John 18, Jesus told Pilate, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world." That's why his throne is not in this fallen earth. Why he's not bodily now on earth. His kingdom is not of this world. Now what Jesus means is that his kingdom is not, so to speak, of the same cloth as the kingdoms of this earth. Now certainly his kingdom is in this world and it's spreading across this world, just as we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So too, Christ's kingdom is in this world, but it's not of it. And our labor in the Lord in this world is kingdom work, whether it's by the minister here in the church as institution, whether it's performed by the devout mother in the home nurturing the children, whether it's performed by some godly operator of the forklift. Christ's kingdom spreads from shore to shore and throughout this world, but it is not of this world. It doesn't stand in association with the world. Christ's kingdom does not have the same priorities, the same characterization, the same destiny as this world and the kingdoms of this world. For where will America be? 50 years? 100 years? 1,000 years? Where will America be in the new heavens and new earth? Where will any earthly kingdom be? Christ's kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is drawn from another world, another reality, that of heaven. And that is a kingdom of righteousness, of peace, of joy in the Holy Spirit. That which is of this world has no righteousness, only sin leading to death. That which is of this world has no peace, only enmity against God and each other. That which is of this world has no true joy. That which is of this world is not spirit, but fallen flesh. Not simply two nations side by side, two kingdoms of this world opposed to one another, but kingdoms from different realities, different principles. And if Christ's kingdom were of this world, we, his servants, the Jews, his servants, would have fought to prevent his arrest. If Christ's kingdom were of this world, you and I today, we would seek to extend his kingdom by fighting like Islamists fight, like extremist Hindus fight. Read Christian news from India. And it's not rare to read of reports of attacks by Hindus, by Muslims, attacks on Christians. Now we as Christians, we might have to fight at times, but it would not be to extend Christ's kingdom. It would be to protect those under our care from those who seek to destroy them. It would be to love our neighbor by protecting him, by protecting her from the sinful rage of others. It would be doing our civic duty, serving in an armed forces. In the sense that we would seek to love others, we are giving expression to the kingdom of heaven. But our warfare does not spread the kingdom. And that way, our earthly warfare is not spreading Christ's kingdom, because his kingdom is from another place. It cannot be extended by earthly means like that. But many people, though, try to do that. And they think of part of their kingdom work as taking back our nation for God, morality by means of laws or marches or political initiatives. Others of the opposite political bent perhaps think of kingdom work, that we have to have some social program by the government. We have to enforce fairness and equal station in life. That's the kingdom coming. Conservative and liberal, what do we see out there? But often they try to advance an earthly kingdom, confusing Christ's kingdom, which is not of this world, with the kingdom they try to bring by their earthly activism. You see, there's connections there. Using earthly means to try to bring to pass an earthly kingdom. But that's not the kingdom of heaven. Now, being part of the kingdom of heaven, as kingdom citizens, we are to seek the good of our society. But a society that might have a roaring economy, that's not identical to the kingdom of heaven. Similarly, the premillennialist idea of Jesus establishing an earthly Jewish kingdom during the 1,000 years is of similar error. Jesus' kingdom is not of this earth. He said that. Believing Jews and Gentiles right now are both citizens of Christ's kingdom, acknowledge Him alone as Lord. And so we know some millennial kingdom of the Jews is an error. Rich and poor alike are in the kingdom of heaven, and so we know that mandating social equality does not bring the kingdom. True morality, true virtue, come only from a changed heart. It's not something to be coerced by laws or produced by education. The Spirit does not open the kingdom of heaven through earthly means, liberal or conservative. But what do we confess? What are the keys of the kingdom? It's not the ballot box. Jesus taught about the keys of the kingdom. It's preaching the holy gospel. It's exercising Christian discipline. Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to the confessing church leader Peter, not to a political group, not to a social movement. This is the kingdom that God brings to pass, not man. And the Lord uses the foolishness of gospel preaching as the means by which He extends His kingdom. He uses the means of grace, preaching, and the sacraments in conjunction with the exercise of church discipline. Those are the means Christ uses by His Spirit to extend the kingdom and bring people into it. Christ ascended to the throne in heaven. And in our political, our social context, we need to be reminded that Christ ascended into heaven. And He's not a king on earth because His kingdom is not of the earth. He's a king in heaven because His kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. Don't be pulled into the political rhetoric that you hear around. Don't forget what Christ's kingdom really is. Now, as kingdom citizens, we are to be good citizens here. We are to be active as Americans, as Michiganians or Ganders. Educate yourself about the candidates. Educate yourself about the proposals. Vote. Vote responsibly. Vote from a Christian mindset. Yes, be active in that way. But understand what your activity is and what it is not. Even if your political vision for this country, for the world, would be realized, that wouldn't mean the kingdom of heaven has come. And likewise, when your political opponent, your moral opponent even, someone opposed to righteousness, makes strides, that doesn't mean Christ has been defeated. The kingdom of heaven is not energized by politics and outward morality. The kingdom is something God works within our hearts, which shows forth in how we go about our politics and our morality. And don't understand this as Christians are to be passive. It's not what we read. It's not what it means that His kingdom is not of this world. But we need to understand it in a right way and not have our hearts tied too tightly to this election, to any cause, but Christ's cause. Jesus came to earth to accomplish a mission, to win a victory, to conquer sin, Satan, and death, and He has done that. He's done it. And He has introduced the kingdom of heaven into our reality, our history. He did that by His death on the cross to pay for the sins of His people. to offer himself as the only atoning sacrifice to cover our sins, to reconcile us to God. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, bringing into man's reality the kingdom of heaven in power, in glory, righteousness, and resurrection. That's the good news of Jesus, the gospel, which is the power of God, Romans 1. Because of what Christ is, because of what he has done, and what this present evil age is, he could not remain on this fallen earth. He came for a specific purpose, a conquest, to reconcile sinners to God, and that is finished. He must not remain within this fallen realm. And the kingdom he's extending is not one of this fallen realm. So be active as a citizen, certainly. Be responsible. Strive for justice. Strive for righteousness. But realize Christ's kingdom is not the same as America. It's not the same as Michigan. Here is not where his identity is. This is not his kingdom. His is so much greater. It's so much more fundamental. Because Christ's kingdom is not of this world. Again, does that mean it has no bearing on this world? Because Christ is a king who is not in this world, does it mean he's absent from this world? No, not at all. We move to consider, thirdly, Jesus is a king who is not absent from this world. A king not absent. Our reading from the book of Acts, verse 11, recounts something that happened to the Apostle Paul, something incredible. You won't find something like this elsewhere after Christ's ascension. That is, the Lord himself stood by Paul on earth. The Lord had appeared to Paul. Children, do you remember what he was called before? He was called Saul. When Saul was traveling to Damascus, the Lord appeared and called Saul, later Paul, into his service on the Damascus road. But here, the Lord appears to Paul closer than on the road to Damascus. He stood by him. That's what we read. It was an angel. It was not an angel. It was Jesus himself. He stood by him. The Bible does not clearly tell us exactly how we're to understand that. But one thing is clear. Christ is not absent from this world. He stood by his apostle, a servant who was under intense pressure. A servant who was commissioned by Jesus to proclaim as a herald the message of salvation to the Gentiles, now being threatened by enemies. Don't do that. Plans of the Jews were against Paul. On various occasions, this being one of them, the Jews tried to kill Paul. Why? To keep him from fulfilling the commission God gave. The commission of his king, his Lord. But the king came to Paul. And he assured him that despite all the raging of the Jews, despite the shenanigans of the Roman authorities, Paul will testify to Jesus in Rome. Christ the King is not absent from this world. The will of God comes to pass. Christ the King will put God's will into action. And Jesus assures Paul that the commission Christ gave to him, Christ will make sure it is fulfilled, it is carried out. Christ is not absent. Even though he's no longer bodily on earth. Brothers and sisters, Christ is with you. He doesn't stand near to you and audibly speak words of encouragement like he did to the Apostle Paul. Again, Paul was Christ's apostle. He fulfilled a prophesied calling in the Bible to take the gospel to the Gentiles. We aren't the Apostle Paul. We're simple believers in Jesus, simple followers of him, and yet, Christ is not absent from you, believer. Children, Christ is not absent from you. Not for a moment. He's present with us in his divinity, his majesty, his grace, his spirit. Now, children, you can't see Jesus with your earthly eyes. You can't hear him with your earthly ears. You can't touch him with your earthly hands, but he is present. What's the proof? Well, there are many. We find one clue in this passage from Acts. The gospel goes forth. even today, to the uttermost ends of the earth, the good news of what God has done in Christ to redeem his people, that is proclaimed. Even though this message is foolishness to the world, even though the gospel is a message that's attacked by many around us, even though the devil and dictators try to stamp out the church, the gospel goes forth. The church survives. And whatever happens on Tuesday or 2 years from now Tuesday, the church survives and the gospel goes forth. We might be dismayed at election results one way or the other. We might be dismayed by persecution of governments. We might be dismayed when a certain Supreme Court decision might go against us or certain laws or candidates are elected. By people in our communities denying Christ. But the gospel goes forth. Even this morning and evening from this pulpit. And it will continue because Christ is not absent from this world. But there's something else as proof of Christ's presence in this world, presence in your life. And that is that you, believer, you've been changed. That you believe in Jesus. That you seek the things that are above where Christ is. That is proof. Christ is not absent from this world. Why? Because you and I, we would never believe. We would never seek that which is good if left to ourselves, our own power. We have nothing good in ourselves. We've said before, there's no storehouse of goodness or righteousness or faith within ourselves. All that we have is a gift from God. And all that we've received from God according to his riches that are in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. That God will provide all of our needs according to his riches that are in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. What do we need most? But repentance and faith, a new heart. And all those who look to Christ in true faith, who turn from sin, you receive from Jesus righteousness. Because of Christ's righteousness credited to you through faith, God forgives all your sins. You're right with God. Christ works faith within you by the Holy Spirit. Your believing, your repenting is proof Christ is not absent. Your seeking that which is above is proof Christ is not absent. You, believer, you are walking proof of the ascension of Christ into heaven and that Christ is still working on earth. Be encouraged with that, regardless of what happens in politics. If someone challenges you about Christ being alive yet today, of Christ's activity yet today, well, first, point to the clear teaching of the Word of God. That's foundational. How do we know Christ lives? The Bible tells us. But you can also point to his activity in you. That you believe and repented. Give all glory to God in Christ. Take none for yourself. Admit to others that in yourself, yes, there's only hatred. There's only wickedness. There's only doubt. There's only despair. There's only arrogance. There's only selfishness. And then point out that the good they notice, that's the work of Jesus within you. Point away from yourself. Point to Christ's work. Don't hem and haw about, well, I try to do what's right. I try to do what's good. Again, don't reflect when someone remarks upon something good you did. Give glory to God and point out it's the work of Jesus. It's what he did that he's working in you now. You believers, you are living, you are breathing proof. Christ is not absent, even though he's no longer present in his human nature. Remember that. When your trials, your sickness, your sorrow, your temptations and sin, even death itself, when they tempt you to doubt Christ's presence, remember that when, say, an election goes completely counter in a bad way to how you want, how you think it should go, you don't feel Christ's presence in the same way you feel your pain or sorrow, you must live by faith and not by sight. Faith in what God declares is true. Faith in why there is a change in anyone's heart Christ is at work. He's with you. Go to the gospel of Christ, that there is righteousness in Him alone, that in Christ is new life alone. And as you reflect on His work within you, that work of sorrow for sin, of trust in Him, be assured He is also with you in your trial. He's with you in your sorrow. He's with you in death. Remember what type of kingdom Jesus is king of, the kingdom of heaven, not a kingdom of earth. Where is your citizenship? Is it on earth? Is your heart there? Then you'll miss that king. You'll be like the rest of the world that's always looking for God, they claim, but never able to find Him. You'll be like the rest of man who builds their kingdoms and their fortunes and expectations and hopes and dreams here below. You'll be like much of the society around us that looks to the governments, to the state, to give meaning, to give subsistence, to give hope. Make no mistake, congregation. We live in the midst of an unbelieving and perverse generation. Don't be like them by God's grace. Walk by faith, not by sight, as they do. Walk by faith. If your heart is in heaven, if you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, if you're simply a stranger and a pilgrim here below, then you'll know your king is not absent from this world. And you know he's very much present, perhaps not in a vision, or whatever it was the Apostle Paul experienced, but certainly in Christ's divinity, His majesty, His grace, His Spirit. Christ ascended to the throne in heaven. Be comforted in that and rejoice. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Christ is ascended. We confess, Lord, sometimes we would like to see Him with our eyes, touch Him with our hands, to have a palace of His here below, to have His soldiers come and conquer the wickedness and the false causes and wrong candidates. But Lord, You point us to something else. You are at work. Christ is seated in heaven. We need have no fear, though Nero himself is on the throne in Rome. Though whoever is raised up as governor or president or representatives, whatever happens judicially, we need have no fear. And so, Lord, give us wisdom to be wise citizens here in America, but especially to know our citizenship is in heaven and we await a Savior from there. Lord, send Jesus back. We long for that day. We mourn over the wickedness, the brokenness around us, within us. But we rejoice that, Christ, You are not absent from us. Strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.